Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marcia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. The Saudi onslaught on Yemen has gone on more than a month now and has caused the death of almost 3,000 Yemeni men, women, and children. And now Riyadh is using cluster bombs on the civilian population of Yemen. Scenes reminiscent of the Israeli onslaught on Gaza are being played out, but it is Saudi warplanes bombing the civilian Yemeni population and using the same cluster bombs that Tel Aviv uses against Palestinians, and also using a blockade keeping aid and food from getting into Yemen. Something else familiar during this onslaught, and that is the continual silence from the international community. Stay tuned as we take a closer look at the latest situation taking place in Yemen.
Saudi warplanes continue to pound more areas in Yemen. Nearly 3,000 people, mostly civilians, have been killed in Riyadh's nearly 40 days of the air campaign. International aid organizations have expressed grave concern over the alarming high civilian casualties from the airstrikes. A new report released by the Human Rights Watch says Saudi Arabia has used cluster munitions supplied by the United States.
Credible evidence indicates that the Saudi-led coalition used banned cluster munitions supplied by the United States in airstrikes against Houthi forces in Yemen. Cluster munitions pose long-term dangers to civilians and are prohibited by a 2008 treaty adopted by 116 countries, though not Saudi Arabia, Yemen, or the United States.
The rights body says videos, photographs, and all the evidence collected from the ground indicate that the Saudi Air Force has used the deadly bombs against villages in Sadr province in northern Yemen. This is not the first time that Saudi Arabia uses cluster bombs in the impoverished Arab country.
Well, these cluster munitions, they were actually used in the 2009 offensive against the Houthi movement in the north province of Sadr. And these types of weapons, they have a tendency to also turn into de facto landmines after spreading in a number of villages in 2009. Months later after the conflict was stopped, those sub-munitions, they were still able to detonate upon people finding them, some of the local residents in that area. They turn into landmines.
According to the Human Rights Watch, Riyadh agreed to a contract with a U.S. weapon manufacturer in 2013. Saudi Arabia launched its air campaign on Yemen without a U.N. mandate. However, the United Nations and the Western countries have remained silent in the face of Saudi aggression. Meanwhile, Ansarullah fighters are battling al-Qaeda militants and remnants of the former regime in the country's south. The situation in the southern city of Aden is unclear, with conflicting reports as to whether Saudi Arabia has deployed ground forces to the city or not. Yemeni sources speaking on condition of anonymity say some 20 soldiers have been sent to Aden in order to help militants in their battle against Ansarullah fighters. However, the Saudi military spokesman Ahmed Asiri has denied that ground troops have been deployed to Aden. Saudi Arabia's air campaign against Yemen began on March the 26th. Riyadh's stated goals were to halt the advance of Ansarullah fighters and to bring back to power fugitive former president Abd Rabbu Mansur Hadi. Despite the invasion, neither Hadi has been reinstated, nor is Ansarullah on the retreat. Many believe that launching a possible ground invasion might be a face-saving attempt for Saudi Arabia's failure in its five-week-long air campaign.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of Washington, D.C., Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress and Senior Advisor to the Center for Defense Information. And out of London, Mr. Masoud Shajadeh, Head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission. Thank you both for being with us and welcome, both of you. Well, let's start this off in Washington with Mr. Korb. Why is it that we see Saudi Arabia responding to Yemen in this way, but has never saw the kingdom attacking Israel, which is allegedly its enemy, and has continually attacked Palestinians?
Well, I think it's important that President Hadi, who is the legitimate ruler of Yemen, asked the Saudis for help because the Houthis had overthrown him using violence. So that's why they're responding, as well as some of their other allies in the Gulf.
And why do you think, sir, that they're responding, staying with you, Mr. Korb, why are they responding with cluster bombs? Actually, we're close to now 3,000 people being killed in Yemen.
Well, I think it's important. Human Rights Watch said they found evidence that cluster bombs were used, but they also said no civilians had been killed by cluster bombs. The way cluster bombs work, basically, is if they don't engage their target, they self-destruct. Now, according to Human Rights Watch, they found a couple that didn't self-destruct, but they could not find any civilian casualties.
All right, what about that, Mr. Shanjadeh? A treaty banning the use of cluster munitions have been signed by 116 countries, but neither Saudi Arabia nor Israel nor the United States are signatories. Is that significant at all of what perhaps is going on there?
Well, it is. It's very significant. It shows that these countries are predominantly willing to use these bombs to abuse civilians. I mean, the reality is that, you know, I'm really shocked and that the other contributor is ignoring the reality and the report. The report very clearly, Human Rights Watch report clearly says that these bombs have been used in civilian areas. And, you know, and that investigation has shown. The gentleman is saying that they haven't seen anyone civilian being killed. But Human Rights Watch hasn't got hundreds of people in Yemen, and there are no reporters in Yemen. It's very difficult. And even if they come and show individuals being affected by this, I'm sure the supporters of United States and this barbaric bombing will find other excuses. The reality is that these weapons are being used against one of the poorest countries in the world, and is being used in the civilian areas. And this is outrageous. Any human being should be outraged by this, especially those who claim to be champions of human rights and justice. And as for, you know, justifying attack of Saudi Arabia on Yemen on a basis that, you know, ex-head of the state have asked for help, then by that definition, Ukraine becomes justified for Russians to bomb.
Well, interesting point that Mr. Shanjadeh has just made. What about that, Mr. Korb? It appears that depending on the set of circumstances, depending on the country, will determine what side the United States will take in any event. Mr. Shanjadeh talked about Ukraine, and we've had so many other countries that similar events have taken place. If the United States supports a regime, no matter how negative that regime may be and how much pain they may inflict on their own people. Silent, basically, is the word. We can look at the situation right now in Bahrain. However, if the other situation is the case, if they're taking going on the side of the opposition, such as Ukraine, we'll see a totally different reaction. Does it not show a hypocritical type of action coming out of many of the Western countries, especially the United States?
Well, I think the United States has been consistent. President Hadi was a legitimate ruler of Yemen. He was overthrown by an armed group who received a lot of weapons from outside, including from Iran. He requested international help. The Saudis decided, because they're right there, to provide him that help. The munitions that the United States has given the Saudis is go back to 20, 25 years. We've given them aid in order to deal with threats like they had, for example, in the first Gulf War when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait and then came to the Saudi border.
Let me just jump in here, because you're saying that the United States had given Saudi weapons 25 years ago. Are you saying that the United States no longer provide weapons, airplanes, munitions in general to Saudi Arabia? The West is not providing that to Saudi Arabia right now?
And logistics.
No, I didn't say that. I said we have been providing arms to Saudi Arabia for a long period of time. That's the point that I made. We have provided in their campaign right now against Yemen, as well as in Syria, we are providing them with intelligence, and we're helping to rescue, you know, down pilots. That's the extent of our aid there. But similarly in Ukraine, we're basically asking the Russians to live up to the agreements that they made, basically going back to 94, when they said if Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons, that Russia, the United States, would guarantee the territorial integrity of Ukraine. Russia has already taken over a large part of it, the Crimean Peninsula.
Okay, well, go ahead, Mr. Shajadeh, go ahead.
The only thing United States is persistent on is actually supporting its friend committing atrocities right across the region. We have seen this being done in Bahrain. We've seen it happening in Egypt. And now in Saudi Arabia is actually giving the clean bill of health for the one of the most powerful and most richest countries in the region to attack the poorest country. And you know, we are bringing excuses that Iran has given weapons. This is not about weapons. If it was all to do with weapons, Saudi Arabia would have been able to, and United States, to actually supply more weapons than people in Yemen. This is about the majority of people getting sick and tired of interference of the Saudi Arabia in their country, which has been going on for a very long time, and actually want to have empowerment. And you know, that is the reality. The reality in Bahrain is the same thing. Majority of people are being bombed. They never even taken a single gun against the authorities, and they're being quashed using the most sophisticated weapons. And United States is supporting them 100%. And this, there's no way that you could sit down there in the studio and justify this and saying that this is, you know, a normal humanitarian, is for the international sort of peace and tranquility. This has nothing to do with that. This is to do with actually putting a bunch of tyrants, bloodthirsty tyrants in power in whole of the Middle East to implement the policy that is favored by United States and Israel. There is nothing else to do. There is no humanitarian aspect to this policy.
All right, stay with me, please, both my guests, Mr. Korb and Mr. Shajadeh, as we cross over to our Facebook page and see what some of our viewers have written on this subject.
Saudi Arabia is doing a dirty job for the Zionists and globalists. The United Nations can't even act. They have become toothless lions. No difference between Zionists and Saudis. Slap on the UN Security Council. Saudi Arabia isn't the only one to blame for what is happening in Yemen. Iran is also part of the problem because it's supporting the Houthis. It's not a war. It's genocide. Well, the so-called coalition has the US on his back. Why should they care about human rights? So sad. Stop killing children, Saudi Arabia. Why the Saudis are in all-out war against Yemen, but do nothing against ISIL?
Mr. Korb, some of our viewers have commented, and especially the last one, and talked about what appears to be duplicity also on the side now of Saudi Arabia. On the one hand, they go into Yemen and actually attack a fellow Arab and Muslim country. On the other hand, we see nothing being done against ISIL. We see nothing once again being done against Israel. Why do you think that there is that difference in how the Saudis are reacting, especially towards Yemen? And also we've seen similar types of perspective and actions in different ways against Bahrain. Why the difference?
Well, The Saudis are acting against ISIL in Syria. They're part of the coalition that is attacking ISIL in Syria. So they are doing that. Why are they concerned about Yemen? Yemen's right on their border. And you had, as one of the people in on the Facebook page or however you got your information pointed out, Iran has provided arms to the Houthis. The Houthis took power by violence. I mean, I think that's the king. Go back to 2011 when you had the Arab Spring, you had a change of government, Saleh stepped down, turned power over to Hadi, and then Saleh was working with the Houthis to get rid of, Hadi. I mean, that's the problem. I think we need a negotiated solution here to the situation. We don't need basically this to go on. The Houthis have got to be willing to negotiate. Up to now, they have not been willing to negotiate. Until they do, I think, unfortunately, this violence is going to go on. Yes, the Saudi bombing has killed a lot of people, but the Houthis have killed thousands of people, too, in their armed overthrow of the legitimate ruler, President Hadi.
Okay, it's interesting that you talked about, because Yemen is on the border with Saudi Arabia, then perhaps Russia may be justified in their concerns of what's happening in eastern Ukraine then. But Mr. Chaudhry, looking at this situation, there are many experts that are saying that basically Saudi Arabia and Israel are basically two different sides of the same coin, both causing chaos in the region and actually playing different roles in the rest of the world, mostly in a negative way. Your take on that?
It is absolutely right. I mean, now Saudi Arabia is using the same tactics as the occupying force in Palestine, and the Zionist entity is actually occupying two islands of Saudis. And the Saudis have done nothing whatsoever to get their own islands back from the occupation of Israeli occupation. And now there is suddenly our concern about what is happening in Yemen. And also, you know, talking about Iran arming, United States is providing 80% of the arms around the world to tyrants. Right the way through the Persian Gulf and all the tyrants sort of around the world. Even Saddam Hussein was being armed and logistic was given to it in war against Iran. Hosni Mubarak, you could name all the tyrants around the world and you see all of them are being armed, supplied and supported by United States. You know, this is outrageous because the reality is that ordinary people in Middle East, that's why ordinary people in Middle East hate United States so much, because it has never cared about the lives and the well-being of those people within the Middle East, except where there is an occupying force of the Israeli Zionist state. And we need to be honest about this. You know, the reality is that, you know, people in the region want to be empowered. Saudi Arabia cannot afford any country in the region to be empowered and any form of democracy to be implemented in anywhere in its region. Okay. And this is what it's all about.
Stay with me, please. Let me get Mr. Korb back in on this now. Mr. Korb, the United Nations are saying that basically Yemen may be headed for a humanitarian disaster. Why doesn't the UN do more to prevent this from happening? We see now that basically Saudi Arabia has put a blockade on the country, limiting the food and also the aid that's coming in. So the UN is just sitting back and waiting for this catastrophe to take place?
Well, I think the UN should get involved. I think eventually you're going to have a UN peacekeeping force like we had in the Balkans if we can ever stop the violence. But remember, the UN ambassador kept pretending there was no problem the whole time. He should have been, basically alerting the UN well before this situation got under control. But he kept saying everything was okay. President Hadi is going to remain in power. So you're right. It is a failure of the United Nations nations as well. And, you know, last week, the United States had to get Iran from stopping to provide more arms. And that's what we don't need, is more arms, coming in there. And hopefully the UN can get involved and get end the blockade so that you can get the medical supplies and the food that you need. But we have to be careful, because some people might take advantage of that to try and get arms in there.
All right. And Mrs. Shajareh, in your perspective, what will it take now to stop the Saudi onslaught on Yemen?
First of all, let us get our facts right. President Hadi resigned. When somebody resigns, is no longer in power. Secondly, the reality is that we should think about the ordinary people in Yemen. They are being deprived of the most basic needs. You know, 80% of the food and other resources are imported into Yemen. And this blockade is actually outrageous. And international community should not just wait until things settle. They need to actually make sure that food and medicine gets to people. And there is a very easy way of doing that. You know, third parties could actually organize airlift into the country and make sure that basic human needs are actually provided. And the failure to do that, it shows that they want to do collective punishment of the Yemenis, so they will never rise up to ask for empowerment of themselves.
All right. Well, thank you both, my guests, for an interesting discussion out of Washington, D.C., Mr. Lawrence J. Korb, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress, and Mr. Masoud Shajareh, Head of the Islamic Human Rights Commission out of London. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us for another debate. Make sure you join us right here, same time, same place tomorrow. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, signing out for myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks so much, and goodbye.